Lord, that you open our eyes. Lord, that we wouldn't be a stranger to your word, but Lord, that that word would come forth, Lord, as a trumpet call, loud and clear. That you would assemble your troops for battle, that you would equip us, that you would hone that edge on that sword, and Lord, that you'd give us the strength and the faith to go forward. Lord, bless Pastor John now as he brings forth your word. Anoint him with a great outpouring of your spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week, if you were here, Brian Wilkerson shared the word last, and he talked about how the devil uses fear to try to hold people back, and how we as Christians don't have to put up with that. And the title of his message was "Fear Will Not Stop Me," and I like it. And you know, and I know Brian, and I've seen him out there, and I've seen him be asked to do something, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do it." And then he just says, "Okay, I'll do it," and he just goes and he just does it. One of the scriptures that he used also happened to be a favorite scripture of mine, and it says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear." I think of my grandkids, and you know, they're all little now, my own kids. It used to be I would take them, and you know how you do that? You grab them by the hands, and then they walk right up your legs and up your chest, and then they flip over and land on their feet. And I always like doing that with them. Sometimes I'll do it like 10, 15, 20 times till I'm worn out, because they just want to keep on doing it. And but they love it, and they're not afraid to be turned upside down and dropped on the floor. They're not worried about falling, because they know they trust the one that's holding. You know, and I make sure they hold on to my thumb and I hold on to their hand. So, and I make sure I'm not going to drop them. And today I want to look at how fear can hinder our relationship with God, and how by overcoming fear, it actually helps us to move forward and to be able to go places we thought we could never go before with Christ. In Ephesians 5:15, it tells us, "Be careful then, very careful then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And just a little lower in 5:17, it tells us, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is in regard to these different opportunities that he presents to us." And once we understand the way that God works, we realize that our life is not just some type of random, haphazard series of coincidences. We joke about that all the time. You know, our whole life is nothing but it's a continuing series of opportunities that God presents to us. It just keeps on coming. They keep on coming. It's almost like you're in one of those video things or game or something, where no matter how many times you succeed in whatever you do, another one just keeps coming. Another one comes at you. And God is, you know, he's working in us like that. He's continually presenting opportunities to us because he's looking to use us for his glory and to build us up, and also to bless us. Every experience we go through has been designed to move us forward so that we can live our life for God, so that we can honor him in all that we do. And every day we are confronted with a multitude of choices, all the time. And those choices will cause us either to get in line with God's will, to move forward and get in line, or to step back and say, "No, I don't know if I can do that." And fear is often the reason that we step back. And when we step back, we're literally stepping out of God's will. Matthew 25:14-30, there's a story there I want to read. It says, "And again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth with them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability." God always challenges us according to our ability. Did you know that? He challenges us to take the next step where we're not at yet, but it's still according to our ability, because God knows what we're capable of, what we're able to do, able as part of ability. So then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went off at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and so I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents, or 2 giftings, or 2 blessings, or 2 things that I could do, or 2 of whatever. And I gained 2 more. I grew. I expanded. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now here's the tough one. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And so I was afraid. And I went out and hid your money in the ground. See? Here is what belongs to you. I didn't lose anything. Take it back. His master replied, you wicked, lazy, no good for nothing servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received interest with it. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, that is, that's some statement, isn't it? I would not want to be that guy coming back and hearing that. Why did the third man totally blow it? Because he was afraid, he said. I was afraid about what might happen. I was worried that, wow, what if I lost the money? What if I, you know, something came up, something messed up. So he gave in to his fears and he hid the money instead of trying to work with it. It'd be the same as somebody saying, I hid my talents instead of trying to work with them because I thought I might be embarrassed. I thought I might lose it. I thought people wouldn't like me. In this story, we find one major difference that caused 2 totally different outcomes for these people. The first 2 men were commended. They were faithful servants, they were told, and they got to share in their master's happiness. They got to share in the blessing. And it says that they were put in charge of many things. So now they're going to get to do all kinds of stuff because they proved themselves in something small. The third man was branded as a wicked, lazy servant. And what he had was taken from him, and it says he was thrown out into the darkness. All because of his fear. He admitted it. He said it. Everything he did wrong was because he was afraid. Fear is one of the favorite weapons of the devil. He uses it all the time because it doesn't seem like outward sin. It's not like we went and robbed a store. It's not like we stole something from somebody. I was just afraid. I just didn't want to do it. And so the devil uses that. That's one of his favorite weapons. And God's word tells us that we need to be aware of the devil's schemes. And fear is one of those schemes that he uses over and over and over and over. He puts that in our life. And every time we give in to fear, another area of our life suffers loss. Every time we give in to fear, the devil wins another round. And what happens then is we learn to accept and to live with less than what God had planned for us. We just keep coming down a notch. Instead of growing and moving forward, we're moving backwards. We're coming down. Well, I can't do that. Oh, okay, a little bit less in my life. I can't do that. Well, okay, a little bit less in my life. Because every time we do take that step, we open up a whole new realm of possibilities. And even more things come out of it. And likewise, when we back up out of fear and we stop that thing, then the next thing is something else worries us. Then something else. God knows the negative effects that fear can have in our life. And that's why he tells us over and over and over in the Word. It's all throughout the Word. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 3, it says, do not be faint-hearted or afraid. In Joshua 1, 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. In John 14, 27, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And I could probably read 50 more, maybe 100. God does not want his people to live in fear. What king, think about this, what king wants an army of cowards? Would you like to put together a baseball team when everybody on your team was afraid to stand in front of the pitcher? Nobody would swing the bat. Nobody would catch the ball because they were afraid the ball was going to hit them. No. Fear leads to all kinds of things. Fear leads to discouragement, to weary, to anxiety, to stress, and all kinds of problems. Even, you know, to tear, to night tears, to nightmares, all kinds of things. And it can sort of paralyze us. Fear. Fear can paralyze us. Fear can cause us to run and hide from God. You remember in Genesis 3:10, Adam was hiding in the garden from God. Remember that? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? He said, I was afraid, so I hid. The fear causes us to run and hide from God. Because when we are working, when our life is being controlled by fear, we're not doing what God is calling us to do. Then we get nervous. Then we get discouraged. Then we get, you know, all worried. And so we back away from God. Genesis 18:15, Sarah was afraid. She lied. It says right in there, she lied and said, I did not laugh. She was afraid that she was caught. Oh, I wasn't me. I wasn't laughing. David was afraid about the fallout from his affair with Bathsheba. So he had her husband murdered. Fear caused Peter to deny his relationship with Jesus once, twice, three times. Fear caused Pilate, remember, to wash his hands. He condemned Jesus, but he was afraid of the crowds. And so he washed his hands and he said, all right, go ahead, crucify him. Even though he knew he was innocent. How many times have we given in to fear and then that problem just comes back to haunt us? It does. How many times have we been afraid because nobody would love us? Nobody would respect us because we might be rejected. That our sins or our sin was greater than everybody else's. How could God love me? I'm afraid God just can't forgive me. I've done so much in my life. I think at some point we've all thought that. Hopefully that's not what we're thinking today. When we give in to those fears, everybody loses. We lose, the body of Christ loses, our family loses, our friends lose, the kingdom loses. Whenever we give in to fear. Because the giftings that God put in us are never able to emerge. They never grow because they've never been used. We don't hear that word that should have been spoken. We don't hear that teaching. We don't hear that voice or that instrument or, you know, whatever that song, whatever it is. It's lost because of fear. We don't ask for help when we need the help because we're so worried that, you know, who would want to help me? I can't disturb them. They've got so many things to do that I know they wouldn't want to help me. I'm afraid they might reject my plea. And so then we get overwhelmed and give up. Sometimes we jump in to make things happen because we're afraid that the time might pass and God might not act on what we had been praying for. That God might miss his chance. So we jump in. There are so many ways that fear can invade our lives. It's a never-ending list of opportunities that it can find its way in. And every time fear finds its way in to our life, everybody loses. Everybody loses. Fear stops God's power from working in us. It stops his power from flowing through us. Fear is contagious. You know that? Fear is contagious. When we can pass our fears down into our kids. We can pass our fears to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, there's a story about the Israeli officers, what they used to do before they would go into battle. This was about an actual time when they were going to battle. And Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, it said, "Is anyone afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home so that his fellow soldiers will not become disheartened too." I don't want your fear to spread to the guy next to you. Because then it spreads to his neighbor, to his, before we know it, the whole army's running. There's a great example of how this happens in the book of Numbers. I'm sure all of us remember about the 12 Israelites, the spies that were sent out to spy out the promised land. And they had already been promised this land. God had already told them, "This land is yours." And they went out to check out and see what it was. And when they came back, they said, "Yeah, the land is, it's truly an amazing land. It's abundant. The harvests are amazing." They brought back this big thing of grapes. And, you know, they said there was all kinds of good stuff in the land. But, the people there are powerful. We're afraid. The cities are fortified and they're big. And their walls are big. And we're afraid. They're stronger than we are. We're afraid. The land devours those who are living in it. I don't know where they got that one. The people there are giants. They're bigger than us. We felt like grasshoppers compared to them. Those are all things that they said. Fear overwhelmed them. They exaggerated how bad it was because they wanted to get the rest of the people scared so they didn't have to go in. They didn't want to have to fight. They didn't want to have to do the job to go in to take the land that God was already told them, "I'm going to give it to you." So even though Joshua and Caleb spoke confidently, "Our God can surely give us this land. Our God will fight for us. Our God will do it. He's already told us. He's already promised us." It didn't work out. The 10 cowards' fears were contagious, and they convinced the whole nation. 10 cowards convinced the whole nation to rebel against God's promises. To rebel against God's plans to take the promised land. And in fact, the people even wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb. All because of fear. So what was God's response to that? To their fear? Numbers 14:11, "The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? God considers that contempt when we don't do what he's told us to do. Contempt of court. Sit down. No, Your Honor, Your Honor. No, sit down. No, Your Honor, no. Sit down. All right, you're fine for contempt of court. Bailiff, take him out. Throw him in jail. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they not listen to me? How long will they not do what I've told them I'm going to give them? I'm going to give them this land. How long will they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the signs I have performed among them. So what was the result of their fear? Same chapter, chapter 14, verse 29 and 30. In this wilderness your bodies will fall, every one of you, 20 years old or more, who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness, until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. These men, these 10, they were responsible for spreading the bad report. And they were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. That says it right in the Word. So not only can fear be contagious, but the results of people who give in to that fear can be disastrous. You know why God hates fear so much? There's a reason. Because fear is a lack of faith in Him. It means we're saying, God, I don't trust You. You can't hold my hand so I can walk up your legs and flip over. I can't trust You to look out for me. I can't trust You to pay my bills. I can't trust You to protect me in this situation. I can't trust You to, you know, to send me that helper I need, or to send me that, or raise up a godly husband or wife for me or for my children. Remember when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus? And the wind and the waves picked up and they became fearful. Jesus rebuked them, and this is what he said in Mark 4:40. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, there's a direct correlation he's saying there. Why are you afraid? Still don't have enough faith in me? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. Does that mean that we'll never be afraid? Of course not. I mean, fear actually was put in us. The fear of, you know, the flight thing and fight and all that, where we, God puts a fear in us when, if a monster were to come at us, some, you know, giant, you know, big guy with, you know, guns blazing and you know, knives hanging on him, and he's coming at us and stuff. I hope we have enough sense to be afraid and run. You know, if a building is crashing down, like if we were in one of the towers in New York, 9/11, I hope we would have enough sense to run out of there if we had the opportunity. I would be afraid in that situation. If I saw buildings blowing up and burning, I mean, I'd want to get out of there as quick as I could. God put that in us for a reason, to protect ourselves. But what happens is then God asks us to do something, and then we don't do it because the fear, there's a perversion of that. That safety, the fear that's there for our safety, when there's a time that's literally life-threatening or dangerous. And now it's just a fear to protect our reputation, or a fear to protect our time to do this, or our feelings, or our emotions, or those kind of things. And God calls us to do something, and the devil throws in a little bit of fear, and we give in. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The big question is then, what do we do when we're confronted by fear? Well, David knew the answer. King David. In Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, he said, when I am afraid, so here's a little lesson here. He goes, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Oh, faith in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I love that, don't you? What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm 23, 4. Even though I walk in the darkest valley or in the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Hebrews 13, 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Again, in fact, it says, what can mere mortals do to me? So the antidote to fear is the conviction, the belief that God is with us, that God is for us, that God loves us. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than greater is he who is in the world. Or Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear. See, that fear, that spirit of fear, we're talking about a spirit. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of self-control. Now see, that self-control, now we're getting into the Holy Spirit realm. Power to be bold, power to be strong, not by might, not by power, not our power, but by your Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us with God's love. He pours out the love of God into us. He opens our eyes to the love of God, and then it tells us that perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, 1 John 4:18. When we have that love connection with God, when we are one with God, when we know we are walking in His will, when we're hearing His voice, when we're, you know, doing what He's called us to do, then there should be no fear. The Holy Spirit gives us that discipline then to walk in strength and in boldness and with courage. That's a fruit of the Spirit. With the discipline, with that same discipline, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And then what does Christ say? He says, take courage. It is I. Remember when he said that? Take courage. Be of good courage because it's me. Don't be afraid. What do the angels say all the time? Fear not. Hey, we're with God. God sent us to give you a message. God sent us to help you. Fear not. First thing he has to tell them, because, whoa, there's that big guy. And yes, it would have been very natural to be afraid when you got some 10-foot giant glowing angel coming at you and you don't know for sure what it is at first. And so the first thing he says is, hey, don't worry. I'm here for God. I'm just an angel. I'm under authority. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you a message. I'm on your side. I'm your buddy. One last scripture. Psalm 112, verse 7 and 8. And this is a great, I love this scripture. And this is so good for today, for right now, for the time that we're in right now. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. Ooh. That's what God wants from us, no fear. As we trust in God and we overcome our fears, then we are going to be able to walk in the purpose and plan and the will that God has designed for us. That's the only way we can do it. And as we draw closer to God, then our faith is going to grow. And as our faith grows, our fear disappears. It was that song, Fear is a Liar. You know that one? I was going to play that for you by Zach Williams, I think. It's Fear, He is a Liar. And I like, you know what I like about that is because it says fear, he is a liar. It's like, you know, this is not the fear that was put into us to protect us when danger came. This is fear that comes at us to take us away from God, to stop us from being strong enough to do God's will. Fear, he is a liar. If I knew the words, I'd sing it for you, but I don't. But I know that line. Anyway, so if I could have the prayer team come forward. And if you'd like to come up and get prayer, and I would encourage you, if you need prayer, don't be afraid. Come on up and get some prayer. All right, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are a God who emboldens your people, Lord. That you are a God who gives us strength. You are a God who gives us courage. Lord, we thank you that you are there for us, Lord God, that we know that we can trust in you. You told us you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Lord, you are a good God, and you love us with an everlasting love, Lord God. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for that love that casts out fear. Lord, I pray that we as your people, Lord God, that we would take the steps that you put in our heart. Lord, that we would take the step to move forward, to go forward to the next level, to the next stage of our walk with you. Lord, that we would not pull back because of fear, but we would move forward because of faith. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Prayer.